potatoes.
Now,
we talked about, because Donald was a grocer for many years there, and we talked about the idea of the big potato sacks. Now, I remember when I was in high school, are we good? It says we went off air. Well, Well, this is awesome. Let's try this one more time. Let's see. Okay. Do you have a guy carrying a big sack of potatoes behind me? All right. Let's try one more time, or maybe five or six more times. Who knows? But when I was a kid, I worked for a local grocery store named Meehan's. And Meehan's was a grocery store that had a few small towns around it, about the size of Heiko, and it was a traditional grocery store. And so we would go and load the grocery truck twice a week, sometimes three times, if there was a special need. And I remember when you, of course, have pallets and have to stock things on the shelves before we went to school in the morning. And it was canned goods or whatever it was. Sometimes glass things we would drop when we'd get in trouble for dropping the glass things. But one thing we had to unload was produce and potatoes. Now, the potatoes came in large sacks. Now, I verified this with Donald a while ago. But they were 50-pound sacks, or sometimes they could be even heavier. But I think, was it 50? 100! 100 pounds. So they were giant sacks, and as young high school boys, what do you think we did? We thought, who could carry the most at one time, right? And it might be one in each arm. It might be each over the shoulder. It might be a way to try and carry three. That was hard to do, though. You would have to kind of stack them out here, and that's pretty hard, 300 pounds, carrying like this, right? That's pretty tough. But we would, and what would happen sometimes when you're carrying these giant sacks of potatoes is you drop them because we were dumb high school boys trying to impress each other, right? No girls around. We just tried to impress each other, I guess. And when those potato sacks bust, you would sometimes find, Donald, rotten potatoes. Now, when you found rotten potatoes, it was our job when we would empty the potatoes, sacks into the potato bins, or just drop one and have it split open. Of course, you have to clean up the potatoes. But if you found a rotten one, what would you do? You would take it out, because when you have a rotten potato, that could, I don't know, I'm not a botanist, but the idea is we were told to remove the rotten potatoes, and if there was a potato with even a small amount of rot, throw it away, get it out of the other potatoes, because the idea was, whether true or not, that would cause other potatoes to rot faster, right? And they'd be slimy and gross. They would smell bad, so you got rid of them. So the idea is that there are different kinds of potatoes that are good and also a few that are bad. And I had a picture. I found this potato sack races when I was trying to defend how large the sacks were, Donald, because I wanted to impress my ability to carry these large sacks. So I wanted to find some pictures of these large sacks big enough to get in and have, of course, you know, potato races. And no doubt you've seen some of that. But so I want to talk a little bit about potatoes. Now, there's good potatoes and there's bad potatoes. And you might have heard something like this before. There's lessons like this all around. But the first potato we have to be careful of is the spectator. Now, the spectator is someone who, and I just put it on the slide, he who just looks on. He does not do anything. He just looks. He never sings, prays, teaches, converts, attends business meetings, or takes any active part. Jesus told of his spectator in Luke chapter 10, verse 32. Where we see, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, this is the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he came and looked and passed on the other side. So there was a man in need and hurting. He'd been robbed and beaten, and Levi came by. He was just too busy to care, so he just kind of looked as he passed on by. He was a spectator. He was not someone who actually helped you. He was someone you just kind of walked on by and took notice but did nothing. And that happens a lot. Now, are there any other kinds of bad potatoes? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's another kind of bad potato, which is called an agitator. An agitator, for example, someone who is a disturber in the church. He's not happy with peace, and he can't stand to see things run smoothly. He says, I've got to cause trouble. This is what happened with Paul and Barnabas in Antioch City in Acts 13, verse 50. Now, in Acts 13, it was going very well, this journey that he was with Barnabas on. So they're preaching the gospel, and it says the entire town came out to hear the preaching. So they came into town, they're preaching in the synagogue, but now the whole town came out. And so they were having much success. Well, what that did was, while the Gentiles believed, the Jews got mad and then tried to stir up trouble. It says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women of the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. They were agitators, not a good type of tater. But there's more. For example, there is the devastator. Who's that? Well, the devastator, I'm glad you asked, is someone who is a twin brother of the agitator. For example, he wastes, he tears down, he never builds. And there's an example in Jude verse 4 we're going to look at in a second. But some members just tear things down. Rather than get behind a program, build up, and say, let's do this. And you say, oh, these are all the things wrong with the church. Well, what's right with the church? Don't have answers there, but here's the things wrong. We can't do this program. We can't do this evangelism. We can't do this thing. It's just not going to work. It's not going to happen. So it's like you're just always tearing things down instead of trying to take time to encourage and build people up. And it's easy. That's why people do it. It takes years to build someone up. It takes years to make a church stronger. It takes a long time to invest in people and the work of God. It takes a long time. But it's easy to make people feel bad. It's easy to cause a problem. It's easy to be an inflammatory agent in the body of Christ, and it's not very good. So you have those that devastate. If you look at Jude, verse 4, we're going to look at a few verses here. He says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to see, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now, these are people in the church. But there are people that Jude's warning the brethren about. Okay? He says in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel is contending with the devil. When he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not to bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. They tear down. And whatever they know naturally, they, like brute beasts and these things, they corrupt themselves. They're rotten, they're no good. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Last slide. These are spots in your love feast. They are blemishes, they are rotten spots, he says. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They just want to deal with themselves. They're clouds without water, carried about by winds like autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. That's a rotten tater out there, isn't it? There's more, though. How about the dictator? Who is he? I'm glad you ask. Now, this person is someone that their attitude, that's, Don, you should have topped that better. Their attitude is rule or ruin. They must have their own way. Now, Elymas is an example of this in Acts 13, verse 8 through 12. And Diotrephes in 3 John 9 through 11. Look at 3 John for sake of time. Now, in 3 John, we see of Diotrephes, but look what it says about this man who tried to be in charge. It says, I wrote unto the church. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Now, I think it's the book of Philippians talks about that Jesus Christ has the preeminence. But here it says, Diotrephes likes to have the preeminence. He's the one who likes to have it. It says, and he says, therefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith, but neither doth he himself receive the brethren, but forbids them that would, and casting them out of the church. What a bad person. What a bad tater. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doth good is of God, but he that doth evil hath not seen God. Who's Diotrephes? Diotrephes wanted to have his own way. And he was willing to hurt the cause of Christ to have his own way. Now, you may know people like this. You may know them from past history or present tense. Maybe people outside of the church, maybe in your job or in your business, in your family. Maybe some in the church in the past. Maybe even some right now. I don't know everybody like you might. But there's some who like to have their own way regardless of the cost, who won't do God's work and will cause others to not do God's work as well. That's someone who's a very bad tater. I hope we can agree on that. And then there's the commentator. Who's this commentator? Well, he's someone who's full of advice, comments, and criticism. Lots of advice, lots of comments, lots of criticism. But they never do anything. Most of the time, they never tell the person involved in said criticism. So what happens is, they'll be talking about somebody kind of behind their back. Hey, I can't believe, can you believe that Zachary did that thing? Can you believe that he did that? Roberto, can you believe he did that? Can you believe that Zachary? But I would never tell Zachary. So I would fuzz Zachary to Roberto, but never tell Zachary. I would never have the guts to talk to Zachary myself about it because I'm a bad tater. I'm not good. I'm rotten in my activity. Now, this is described in Proverbs 25, verse 9. He says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. Now, what that verse means is simply what it says is that if you have a problem, go to the person you have the problem with. Don't gossip and talk. Don't reveal secrets about so-and-so with somebody else, right? And this is not talking about a very public affair. That's a different situation. But if you have a problem with a neighbor, go to the neighbor. If you have a problem with a brother, go to a brother. If you have a problem with a sister, go to a sister. And talk to them about that at that time and place. But don't have a problem with Keith and go to somebody else. Go to Keith if you have a problem with Keith, right? And so that's the idea that's talked about here. There are some, though, that are just, they like to commentate. They like to not really get involved and do anything good, just want to spread lies and or at least hearsay and things like that, which aren't very helpful. That's a bad tater. There's also this meditator. You like meditators so far? You like them? Anybody hungry yet? Anybody? So who's this meditator? Meditator is someone who, for example, they're always thinking or studying. They think and study, think and study, think. Now that sounds like a good thing. Now this person is always thinking, but he takes so much time, he never gets around to actually doing the thing. Now I want to give an example of this in Philippians chapter 4. For example, look, if you would, in verse 8. We don't know verse 8, don't we? Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. Amen. Right. What's the next verse say? We don't read verse 9 very much, do we? The things which I learned and received and heard and saw in me, or the things which you learned and received and saw in me and heard in me, these what? these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So yeah, think on righteous, good, holy, just things, but then do them. Don't just think, but actually act. Verse 9 is a great bookend. It goes along with verse 8. Fantastic. Then there's a hesitator. Who's a hesitator? Well, a hesitator is someone who never chooses. He can't decide. He never does anything because he never gets started. The convenient season for him never comes, like with Felix. Now, remember Felix in Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Paul was preaching to Felix. What happened there? It says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. That time ever come? I don't know. If so, it's not recorded in Scripture. But he couldn't make a decision. He was a hesitator. He couldn't leap on the moment and take advantage of it because he was too scared or anxious or just like the will to follow through. That's a bad tater. But also, I want to talk to you about the imitator. Now, the imitator can be very good. I want to talk to you about how. Now, some, these imitators, they copy others. And often they do so without weighing the matter. They're really a thing about right or wrong. They just copy somebody else. And they go along with others without thinking about whether it's right or wrong. But we must be imitators of God. So some people just follow other people. Whether good or for bad, they just follow other people. And sometimes kids follow their parents, regardless of what's right or wrong. Sometimes kids follow their friends. That's called peer pressure. You have good friends, you'll be good. Bad friends, you'll be bad. But what we're called to do is actually follow God. We talked about this in the sermon this morning. We said in 1 Peter 2:21, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Whose steps? Jesus' steps. Now in Philippians 3:17 it says this, Brethren, be imitators together of me, and mark them which also even as ye, and mark them that so walk even as ye have for us as an example. That's the ASV rendering right there, but he's saying, listen, if there are people that follow our example, Paul's saying that, he's saying you mark them as good examples. You mark them as good examples to other people. So if they're really following us and we're following Christ, you make sure that you mark them for good. And listen, we have to wrap our minds around this, that in the Bible tells we're told to mark some for evil. Romans 16 talks about that. Also, Philippians says, mark people for good. So if someone's being a horrible example, living a worldly life, not following Christ when they should be, you know they should be. They're members of the church and have gone away. He said, you should mark them. But this sermon is not about that. This sermon is about the imitator. The tater can be a good tater or a bad tater. Depends on who you're trying to follow, right? If you're trying to follow someone who's good, you're good. But some just follow anybody and don't really give much rhyme or reason to it. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In fact, that's what he says. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, well, I'm not there yet, 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore I urge you, imitate me, Paul says. But he follows it up with, that's chapter 4 and chapter 11, he's more clear. In chapter 11, he comes back around this very idea. He says this, he says, be followers of me, even as I am a follower of who? Christ. So in chapter 4, it says, hey, follow me. In chapter 11, he says, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's a tater we all can be. All can be that. All of us can be that. Hey, follow me, not because I'm great, but follow me as much as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. But inasmuch as I follow Christ with things in my life that I'm doing properly, you follow those things is the point. Now, I've seen some bad taters, so have you. In fact, imagine some of you have brought home from the store those, maybe not those 100-pound bags, maybe those 10, 15 pounds bags you have in plastic. What happens if they go too long without eating them? You know, they turn about like that, don't they? Sometimes they don't really turn that color, but sometimes they just kind of grow some potato branches. You seen that? But sometimes they'll get slimy and gross like that. Of no use. They stink, they smell, you got to throw them out, otherwise they'll ruin the whole bag. That's what we don't want to be. We want to be good. We want to be righteous. We want to be those who are good examples. So with that in mind, what kind of tater are you? I hope none of the bad ones. Maybe you can try and be like me, because sometimes I guess I'm a bad tater too. I guess we all have some of that in us, but I want to try and be an imitator of Christ. I want to be someone who tries to follow Christ in my ability best I can. And some days are better than other days. But friends, if we all, whether we are one or 1,000, if we can follow Christ, we will be a force for good on this earth. Amen? Is that right? Can we be a force for good on this earth if we follow Christ? Yes, we can. So that's what I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about a bag of taters, and that's it. But if you have a question or a comment, you want to talk to me about this lesson, whenever we do, that's great. If you want to respond to the invitation, and you want to pray, you want us to pray for you, or you want to pray over a need in your life that is very difficult for you right now. Maybe you want to repent of sin and be restored for some reason. Maybe you want to be baptized into Christ if you've not done so. But if we can help you, would you please come as we ascend and sing this hymn?
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back.
Jim, I didn't know there was that many taters. I thought there was just mashed, fried, and baked. Good lesson. Let's remember, Donice's aunt, add her to your prayer list. Donice, I don't have my glasses. What's her name again? Marcia Krebb. Marcia Krebb. Add her to your prayer list. And also, Betty Patterson's going to go to the doctor tomorrow. And then Stacy is going for a CAT scan in Stephenville tomorrow. So is there any other announcements that need it? Yes. Okay. So Bruce Slaughter.